Please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter. Genesis chapter 32. In your Schofield Bible, page 48. And beginning with verse 24, we'll read responsively through verse 32. Genesis 32, verses 24 through 32. In your Schofield Bible, page 48. Let's stand, please, as is our custom at First Baptist Church. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun arose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. And let's finish together on the 32nd verse, please. "Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." And let's pray. Lord, you're so good to give us this day. Thank you for this, another Sunday. Certainly we praise thee and thank thee for thy great goodness to us during this Thanksgiving season. We thank thee for this good crowd on this day when it might be expected that we would have fewer people here than this. But how good you are. How wonderful it is to have thy word and to be able to have copies of it in our hand and to read together thy precious word. How good it is to be here in this place where thy word is to be preached by a man that thou hast called to lead us and to give us that which is thy word. Help that thy word might have its effect in our lives and hearts today as thou wouldst choose to do, and very specially bless our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the Word of God. This is not just a time where the preacher gets up and makes a speech and hopes it's good. It's a time where people get strengthened for the week. It's a time where people who have heartaches and burdens come, hoping to get encouragement, the answer, strength, and courage to face tomorrow. Speak to our hearts in these moments, please. Amen. May I ask you to sit up straight, no talking. I ask you to listen very carefully. I want to help you. You don't know this, but my mind is upon you constantly. I mean that. I honestly mean that. My life is a constant searching for things and truths and thoughts that will help you. I want to speak this morning about Jacob. There are some things about Jacob that are not very admirable. But there's one thing about Jacob that is very, very admirable. I want to speak this morning on the subject, I have a limp, but the limp doesn't have me. I have a limp, but the limp doesn't have me. Jacob, in the scripture we read a while ago, wrestled with an angel. I think he wrestled with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that at that time, that his thigh was touched, and he actually shrank his thigh. His one leg was shorter than the other. Now, Jacob didn't let that bother him. He had it, but didn't stop him. The truth is, Jacob became the best person of his life after he got his limp. Oh, the rest of his life, Jacob had a limp, but the limp didn't have Jacob. Listen to me carefully this morning. I'm talking to people that have limps of some kind or another this morning. I use this microphone.
I have a burden this morning.
Turn the trumpet up, please, fella.
And the bass down. I have a burden this morning. You have a burden this morning. I promise you that every adult in this room has some reason that you could weep at this very moment. I promise you that behind every adult breast, there's a heart that aches when certain thoughts pass through it. My first big burden of life came when I was a young preacher, just about 23 years of age. I was pastoring a little church in East Texas. As you know, I was reared in the ghettos of Dallas, Texas. My father was the neighborhood drunk. We were very, very poor. My first pair of shoes for me were bought when I was 14 years of age. I did not know what it was to have more than one food at a meal. I'll never forget the time we went down to Uncle Roy's house and I saw more than one food on the table at one time. I didn't know anybody had two types of food. We either had a can of Franco-American spaghetti or a bowl of chicken noodle soup or just one thing. Or maybe a few fried potatoes. I'm trying to get you to feel sorry for me. Try to control your tears, if you would, please, as I tell you about poverty. My daddy was a neighborhood drunk. My mother was a praying woman, and my father gave my mother a lot to pray about. My mother was as godly a woman, as good a woman as I've ever seen. My mother was courageous. She lost two little children at the age of seven. First two children. Not at the same time. One was born afflicted, retarded, spastic child, lived to be seven and died, as you know. My prayer of my life was that my daddy would become a Christian. I prayed for my daddy to become a Christian all of my childhood. And all of my adolescence, I was a pastor of a Baptist church. My daddy came one Sunday morning, January the 1st, 1950, to hear his son preach. I preached Sunday morning and Sunday night. The only time in his life my daddy heard me preach. My dad was a big man, a rough man. My dad didn't wear ties. My daddy, when he was 40 years old, had his teeth removed. We didn't have enough money to put teeth. My dad didn't have a tooth in his head from the time he was 40, from the time he died and he was 62 years of age. On May the 12th, 1950, my first great heartache of my life came. I picked up the phone, little country parsonage in East Texas. And the operator said, "Is this Reverend Hiles?" I said, "This is Brother Hiles, Pastor Hiles." A voice said, "My name is Smith. I work with your daddy, laying drywall, hanging drywall, or we called it sheetrock in those days." He said, "Reverend Hiles, your father just dropped dead with a heart attack." My sister and I drove to Dallas the next day. I went to Dallas. She lived there. My wife and I drove there. My sister and I went over to where Dad stayed in a little one room. My daddy left us one change of work clothes and one little toy cannon. I think you still have it, don't you? And one little toy cannon and one, and my sister saw that. That was a total net worth of my dad financially. He left us that. How can I preach? My daddy would die an alcoholic. How can I walk in the pulpit again? My first real burden. Of course, my first real burden was my girlfriend quit me when I was a boy, but she came back the same way. I had my first heartache. I mean, my heartbreak as we buried my alcoholic dad. So, a burden came. I sat down and had a little talk with my burden. And I said something like this: "You're here, and I must have you. I hate you. I don't want you here. You're my burden and you're my heartache. And I hate you. I don't want you." But I said, "Burden, I want you to get some things straight today." And this wasn't a minute after Dad died. This was several days after I'd struggled. I said, "Burden, I want to get some things straight." I said, "In the first place, you're not going to wreck my life. I have you, but you're not going to have me. I mean, I cannot get rid of you. You're here to stay. My daddy will never live again. He'll never hear me preach again. He'll never have a chance to trust Jesus again. And you're here to stay. But I want to tell you, Burden, you're not going to wreck my life. I have you, but you're not going to have me." I continued talking to my Burden. And I said to my Burden, "You're not going to control my life either. You'll not tell me what to do. and I'll not make my decisions with you in mind. I have you, but you're not going to have me. I cannot get rid of you. I cannot evict you. I cannot leave you. I cannot ask you to leave me. You're here. I'll have nothing. I'll have to live with you as long as I live, but I want you to know something. I'll not decide anything because of you. I'll have you, but you will not have me. Ladies and gentlemen, you have burdens too. And you ought to say to your burden, whether it's a limp like Jacob had. Jacob said to his limp, I've got you, and the rest of my life, I'll have to walk with one leg shorter than the other, and I'll have you, but you will not have me. I'm talking to two types of people in this room this morning. Those who have burdens, who have them, and those who just have burdens. Now this morning, I'd like you to look at that burden and say to it, by cracky, or bless God, either one you want to use, doesn't matter, God doesn't care. Say, by cracky, I've got you, I can't get rid of you. The burden is here to stay. My husband has left me. He's not going to come back. He's run off with somebody else. I've got these children to rear. Burden, I can't get. I have you, but you're not going to have me. I'm going to have a life that's happy. I'm going to have a life that's productive. I'm not going to have a life full of self-pity. I am going to see to it that you don't control me. I said to my burden, you'll not determine or deter what I do. You will not change my direction. I'll go in the same direction I went before you came. Burden, you'll not alter my goals. The goals that I had before you came, I'll keep them. Now, I cannot get rid of you. I wish I could. I cannot evict you. I wish I could. I cannot leave you or run from you or flee from you. I wish I could. But I want you to know right now, Burden, you're not going to have me. You're not going to change my goals. You're not going to change my direction. You're not going to change my plans. You're not going to alter what I have decided for my life. I have to drag you everywhere I go, and I may have to limp the rest of my life on this burden. But you are not going to have me. I said to my burden, I said, you will make no decisions for me. Nor will I confer with you before I make one. You will not make a decision for me when I make the decisions of my life. You will not make them. I'll not seek your counsel. I'll not seek your advice. I'll not confer with you. Burden, you're here. I can't get rid of you. I wish I could, and I've got you. But I tell you one thing, Burden, you are not going to have me. Fanny Crosby said that when she was blind and wrote more songs, I guess, in our hymn book than any other single songwriter. Helen Keller said that. He was blind and deaf. Even men like Franklin Roosevelt, although he was a Democrat, he said that. A man who was crippled and sat in a wheelchair most of his life, he said, I have a limp, but my limp does not have me. Do you know that the greatest discoveries the world has ever seen, have been made, and the greatest accomplishments have been made, and the greatest performances have been performed by people who had a burden, a heartache, a sorrow, a limp, or an affliction? I'm saying, you're not the first one that ever had one. So you have a conversation and say your limp today or your burden today. You're not going to conquer me. I've got you. You're here to stay. I've got this illness. I can do nothing about it. It's incurable. God has not seen fit to cure me. It's here to stay. I have this affliction. I'm deaf. And I cannot hear the sermon. I have the affliction. I cannot hear the sound of a whippoorwill. I cannot hear the choirs they sing. I cannot hear the pastors he preaches. I cannot hear an I love you. I cannot hear a God bless you. I cannot hear a Christmas carol in a few weeks. I cannot hear them. I'm deaf, and I have this deafness, but this deafness is not going to have me. I'm blind, somebody. I'm blind folks back here. You can't see the sunrise or the sunset. You can't see the cloud formations, and you can't see your own children, or your own husband, or your own wife. And you'll never be able to see the beautiful daffodil or the rose. You'll never be able to see the pines or the autumn leaves as they put on their coat of many colors. You'll never see that. But you can say, I have blindness, but my blindness is not going to have me. I like those pathfinders here a while ago. I mean, they came up here and sang. Now, they can't sing as good as I can. I finally found a choir I can join. But they're happy. One of those fellows over here. Henderson, how old are you? 42? I don't want you to make a speech. I ask you how old you are. 46 years old. He's been here since he was a child. I saw him when he was that high.
Now, these people can say, okay, I have a limp. I'm a musical soul. I have a limp. But I want you to know, they can say to the limp, you won't have me. I said to my burden, I will not obey you. You give me any command you want to, but I will not obey you. I said to my burden, you will not control me, I will control you. I'm the head of this house. Okay, my daddy died an alcoholic's death. I've got to live with that. I've got to live with the fact that my daddy never trusted Christ. I've got to live with it. But I want to tell you something. You're here. I can't get rid of you. But I want to let you know I'm the boss man around here. I cannot evict you, but I will ignore you. And I said to my burden, this is the last time I'll be talking to you. You'll not be hearing from me again. I won't even recognize your presence. I will ignore you. And I'll go right on. I'll keep right on walking. If I can walk like this, I'll walk like this. If I've got to walk like this, I'll walk like this. If I've got to hobble, I'll hobble like this. But you are not going to change my life. I'll not yield to you. You'll not cause me to change my plans. You're not going to do the thing that you came to do and the thing the devil sent you to do. I will run my life. You will not run or ruin my life either. I said to my burden, you will not take my joy. In fact, you came to take my joy. I'm going to make you feel bad because I'm going to get happier now than I was. I said to my burden, I said, you will not hurt my ministry. That's what you had in mind.
You had in mind to hurt my ministry, but you're not going to hurt my ministry.
In fact, I may just put you in the ministry too. And I'll make my ministry better. And I'll tell you what, the great catapulting force of my ministry has been the death of my dad. We'll baptize today or next Sunday, for the first time in the history of Christianity, a church will baptize 10,000 people in 1 year. It'll happen today or next Sunday, 10,000 people. It would not have happened if my daddy hadn't died an alcoholic's death. Ladies and gentlemen, take that burden and use it for God. Don't stumble over it. Use it for a stepping stone. Step on it. And use it for stairways instead of a stumbling stone. In fact, I said, I may use you, burden. Another thing, burden, you'll not cause me to indulge in self-pity. You're not going to make me feel sorry for myself. And something else, burden, I will decide what I do and when I do it. Now, this morning, I don't care who you are. If you're an adult, you've got some heartaches. Life's not easy. Life is difficult. But don't let your heartaches have you. Don't let your illness have you. Don't let your burden have you. Don't let your problems have you. Don't let your obstacles have you. Don't let your infirmity have you. Don't let your handicap have you. You simply go out. The devil would rather do nothing than to send you a handicap that will stop you. You'll be the kind of fellow that says, I'm not going to be stopped. I'll keep on going. If I've got to rear these children alone, rear them alone I will. If I've got to live with this cancer, live with this cancer I will. Boy, this place is full this morning of people who kept on going. I think about Mrs. Evans. Keeps on going. Cancer surgery twice and probably will face it again within a year unless it takes her life. But she had the latest spectacular this year. What'd she say? She said, I may have cancer, but my cancer can't have me. Look at Jeff Clement over there. Fought cancer for years now. But brother, he kept on going. Walks up to his bitch, wondering how long he'll do it. But he said, okay, I have cancer, but my cancer can't have me. Ladies and gentlemen, win the victory over your limp today. And then there came into my life, as it unfolds, when you get 68, they'll keep on coming. Mrs. Howell said to me yesterday, or this morning, she said, you enjoy life, don't you? And I said, I really do. I told her how last night I had appointments, and I thought I helped some people. I thought I helped dispel the fears of a young married lady last night. I thought I helped a teenage boy some yesterday afternoon. I do enjoy life. But I enjoy life because I've decided to enjoy life. I choose to enjoy life. And when those limps come, and the burdens come, and the short leg comes, and the fire is out of joint. I may have to live with it, but I may have it, but it's not going to have me. I remember about 5 years ago,
I was in Bay City, Michigan. Our daughter, Becky, had not been well for a long time. Very sick, and she couldn't find the trouble. I was about to go preach that night, and about 15 minutes before I went to preach, I picked up the phone to call Becky. She'd been to the doctor that day for some serious tests and results. And she was crying, and she said, "Daddy, a doctor says I have the worst form of lupus." She said, "Daddy, I'm scared. I'm scared." Now she's had it for these years. She said, "Doctor said she'd had it already for 5 years, probably. I doubt if she ever has a moment when she's not suffering. I have that heartache, but doesn't have me. Brother Jeff, it hasn't taken my laughter. Brother Roy, it hasn't taken my joy. Brother Keith, it hasn't taken my enjoyment of life. Bless God, today I have a burden, but thank God my burden doesn't have me. I have it for the day. I can't get rid of it, but you're not going to destroy me, and you're not going to defeat me. Ladies and gentlemen, you can have the victory over your burden. You can't get rid of it. You have it. You have it to stay. But it doesn't have to have you." Old story. Probably the hardest thing I faced day by day. I was in Panama City, Florida, 33 years ago, I guess. I was preaching one night with Dr. John Rice, and about two-thirds through the sermon, I lost my coherence. I didn't know what I was saying. I tried to keep on talking. After the service, I went to Dr. Rice. I said, "Dr. Rice, did I make sense?" He said, "Yes, you did." I went to the room that night, and I cried all night long. I thought I was losing my mind, really. We didn't call it mental illness in those days, or losing your mind. We called it going crazy. I don't know why. That's what you called it in those days. I thought I was going crazy. You know what I'm talking about. I cried all night long, and I begged God, "Do something about this." I couldn't think. I didn't know what city I was in. Next morning, I was feeble, but I could preach, and I did preach. And now, about every 2 years, ever since 33 years ago, I'll have about a six-hour lapse of memory and loss of coherence. I never preach a sermon here or on the road without saying, "God, don't let me ruin this service today. I have it. I can't do anything about it. The doctors have tested me. They've tested, they've checked my head. They found nothing there. They've checked my heart and found it's cold. I've had these MRIs. Oh, I'd rather have AIDS than take an MRI. I didn't mean that. But they've tested me for everything. And they don't know what it is. When I have one, I repeat myself usually three times. When I have one of these things, I usually repeat myself three times. When I have one of these things, I usually repeat myself three times. And I never preach. I wonder if it's going to happen. Only twice has it happened while I was preaching. Only twice. Last time it happened, I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I got almost through with the sermon. I said to the people, "I'm sorry, but I have memory lapses occasionally. I'm having one now. I cannot finish the sermon." I knew I was having one. They took me to the hospital. Took all kinds of tests again. I didn't have no sense to tell them I already had the test before. And next morning I started to leave. Several nurses had waited on me through the night. One little nurse came in and she said, "Dr. Howes, you can leave now." And I said, "Nurse, could I ask you a question, please?" She said, "What is it?" I said, "What did I do while I was out of it?" I said, I didn't say anything that wouldn't glorify Jesus, did I?" She smiled and said, "No, Brother Howes, Dr. Howes, you didn't say anything that wouldn't glorify Jesus." I said, "What did I say?" She said, "25 times you said, have I said anything yet that didn't glorify Jesus?" I said, "What else did I say?" She said, "Dr. Howes," she said, "you preached a little while." I didn't know it. She said, you praised God a while. You prayed some. She said, "You won a soul, wasn't there?" I said, "Thank God, even when I'm crazy, I glorify Jesus. I've got this thing. I never know when it's going to hit me. It's my limp. And I have it." When I had it first time, I was preaching it, sort of the Lord convention. I decided I better get the church ready to call another pastor. We're talking about good night 6 years ago now. I came back home and had counsel, took all these men out to eat, counsel with them,
individually, who you think ought to take my place. I decided later on to take my own place. I've got a limp, but my limp doesn't have me. I've got the memory of a father who died an alcoholic death, but the memory doesn't have me. I've got the heartache of concern about my coherence when I preach, but thank God it doesn't have me. You get your limp or your burden or your heartache for the neck, and you look at it and say, you're not going to have me. I may have to have you, but you're not going to have me. You too have a burden. Sit down and have a talk with it. Say what I said to mine. You're here, and I must have you. But you're not going to wreck my life. You're not going to control my life. You're not going to deter or determine what I do. You will not change my direction or alter my goals. You will not make any decisions for me, and I'll not confer with you before I make them. I will not obey you. You will not control me, but I will control you. You will not take my joy. You will not hurt my ministry. I will use you to enhance my work. You will not cause me to indulge in self-pity, and I'll be the head of this house. Just say to your limp this morning, whatever it is, I have to have you, but you can't have me. You may have a burden, but don't let your burden have you. You may have a heartache, but don't let your heartache have you. You may have a handicap, but don't let your handicap have you. You may have a sorrow, but don't let your sorrow have you. You may have enemies, but don't let your enemies have you. You may have battles, but don't let your battles have you. You may have obstacles, but don't let your obstacles have you. You may have a broken heart, but don't let your broken heart have you. You may have a tragedy, but don't let your tragedy have you. You may have a bad past, but don't let your bad past have you. You may have failure, but don't let your failure have you. And you may even have old age. If I live long enough, I may have it. But don't let your old age have you. You may have illness, but don't let your illness have you. You may have disappointment, but don't let your disappointment have you. You may have disillusionment, but don't let your disillusionment have you. Would you listen very carefully as I say in poetry what I tried to say in prose? I penned these words on the airplane this week, flying to Dallas, Texas. My limp. I did not e'er invite you to come into my life. I did not want the burden, the heartache, or the strife. I saw you coming toward me and dreaded that bad day when your arrival cometh and you were here to stay. But now that you're with me and will not go away, just bend your ear to listen. I got some things to say. Just do the dirt you willeth, whate'er you will employ. You may be my companion, but you won't take my joy. I had a smile beforehand before you delivered tears. I had a shout within me before you brought your fears. But what you thought would hurt me when your invasion came just drew me close to Jesus to magnify his name. You will not e'er control me or tell me what to do. You will not e'er convince me my ministry is through. I'll just work more and harder to serve the ones I love and pray with much more fervor for power from above. I know I can't evict you. I know you're here to stay. I know I must endure you and you will not go away. But I'll just ignore you and offer you neglect. And though I cannot leave you, I'll cancel your effect. And though I have to have you, you'll never conquer me. You'll not drive me to quitting or hurt my ministry. You'll not change my direction or alter in one plan. You'll not make one decision for this embattled man. So though I have a burden, thank God my burden can't have me. And though I limp while walking, I will not yield to thee. And though you came to hurt me with all your filth and shame, my joy is even greater than 'twas before you came. Success is not your venue. You work to no avail. Because if you came to hurt me, your efforts all have failed. And though you brought me weeping and brought a broken heart, And though you surely purpose to tear my life apart, you'll not fulfill your purpose by coming here to stay. You'll not succeed in altering one little pre-planned way. You cannot have my victory. You cannot have my joy. You cannot have my praises, whatever you employ. You cannot have my shouting. I'll praise him while I limp. You simply cannot have me, you puny little wimp. You may send storms and raining to darken all my days, but you cannot extinguish my shout, my joy, my praise. So that I'll always have you, and we will never part. And though you may quite often succeed to break my heart, and though I walk forever with you, my constant limp, you'll never have this preacher, you sorry little wimp. And you look at him today and say the same thing I said. You look at your limp today, your heartache, your burden, and say what I've said to mine, my many that have come through these years. You may bring me enemies. You may bring me battles. You may bring me attacks. You may bring me illness. You may bring me tears. You may bring me heartache. You may bring me heartbreak. But you, I may have you, but you'll never, 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 never have me. Our Heavenly Father, a lot of limping people here this morning. Hundreds of people this morning who are limping. While our heads are bowed, do not leave the service, please. This is not leaving time. Still, quiet. Somebody needs your prayers rather than your footsteps. Our Heavenly Father, bless these precious people. I prayed on the airplane. I prayed since then that you'd help me today to comfort and strengthen my people. Oh, today we have to limp. Some have the limp of poverty. Some have the limp of a serious illness. Some have the limp of a wayward child. Some have the limp of bad news and heartache and heartbreak. I pray today if we have to have the limp will never have us. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.